Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America. The Music of America podcast continues. We're wrapping up our visit in the state of Tennessee. It's been a fun week, I got to tell you. And it's so close to St. Louis. I don't know why I'm not in Memphis and Nashville every weekend. But our last guests are actually from Jackson, Tennessee. Kinda Mad with Colton Hunt and Keith Yap will be our guests today after we talk about B-Normous Productions. They've been producing and recording music and videos for about 20 years. After years as a performer, the owner, Van Vierhoeven, decided to get back to that which he loves the most, production. Under the tutelage of Jordan Valeria, he opened up his very own place in Milliken, Colorado. High-end instruments, high-end tools, all on hand to make your sound compete with that of your favorite records. He's got one goal in mind, and that's for you to look and sound as professional as possible. So go make some records. Go make some videos. B-Normous Productions. That's the letter B as in boy. Normous Productions. They're on Facebook or at www.bnormousproductions.com. Our guests today, wrapping up the state of Tennessee, Colton Hunt and Keith Yap. Keith, you're the drummer and vocalist, and Colton, you are guitar?
Guitar and vocals, yes, sir.
Where's your bass player?
Split the vocal. Well, I'm a tracking bass player. That's part of our shtick. Live, I do a split bass guitar rig. So kind of like if you're familiar with Royal Blood or Cleopatra, there's some modern bands that do something like that
too. No kidding. I've not seen that. So that'd be interesting.
It's really cool. Well,
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, especially if we like play it, you know, playing live around Jackson. Instead of splitting any door pay between four people, it's just between us two.
Right. So instead of splitting $40 four ways, you split it.
Well, yeah, we need exactly to come play St. Louis if it's $40.
Big money up here. Right. How'd you guys meet?
Oh man. We have known each other since elementary school.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah, we both grew up in Jackson here in Madison County. Well, there's multiple sides to Jackson, but we grew up in the south side of Jackson. And yeah, man, elementary school, middle school. Wait, excuse me. Elementary school, intermediate school, middle school, and high school. And we briefly went to the same college together for a couple weeks.
Until I dropped out. And which of you started playing music first?
Oh, I don't know, man. We've never discussed when we started playing music.
Okay, so here we can hash it out right here live.
There we go. How about that? That's why they pay me the big money. They ask these provoking questions.
Awesome. I started playing the drums at 13.
Okay, I started playing at 8.
All right, Colton wins.
It's one of those things, though, where it's like, I started playing at 8. I started taking it seriously like 8 years ago. You know, like I've been able to play music for a while, but I haven't tried to do anything with any substance until
and 8 years ago. So that would have put you at 10, right?
That's correct. I am 18.
You're 18 now.
That's 20, more like it.
If we're going off of that metric, I think I got my first drum set at 9, but like Colton said, didn't start taking it seriously until about 13, you know?
Would you start with Colton acoustic?
So technically, I started singing. My parents wanted me to sing more than anything, and then acoustic guitar.
Are your parents musical?
My dad's musical. Uh-huh. My mom could sing, but my dad was in a band back in the '60s and '70s. So.
Oh yeah, in Jackson area. Or did he?
Yeah. So I don't know if you're familiar much with Jackson, but we have like a local legend, Carl Perkins.
Absolutely.
He's from here. And so this kind of rockabilly scene was pretty big around these parts, especially around the '60s. So he was in a kind of rockabilly, but also pop at the time. So anything that would be on the radio in the '60s, like he was just in a sort of like what we're doing, just doing what you can do with what you like.
So you've heard of like the misquoted or misunderstood song lyrics, right?
Yeah.
You know, like Bad Moon Rising, there was a bathroom on the right, you know, like that.
Yeah.
So when I was growing up, Wanda Jackson was a country singer.
And no, somebody Jackson was a country singer. It was like Rhonda Jackson. And Johnny Cash and June Carter had come up with a song called Jackson. And I thought they were singing, "I'm Rhonda Jackson."
I'm Rhonda Jackson. That's awesome.
So that was, you learn at the age of six to get it right, or you're very embarrassed.
That's fair. Some people swear that song's written about this town. I don't know, though.
I thought it was Mississippi. It's Mississippi.
Yeah. I've heard Jackson, gotta be, Mississippi. Right. I don't know. They were friends, so.
But Jackson, Tennessee, I think is where I learned how to swim.
Are you serious?
I was 6 years old. We used to go to Florida every 2 years. And we would stop like at Jackson or Tupelo, Tallahassee, then Tampa for a couple of days, and then back like through Atlanta or someplace that we didn't go on the way down there. But Jackson was the first stop from St. Louis, was a couple of times. And we always stayed at Holiday Inns back in the day, because back in the 60s and 70s, they were up and coming, and you could drive right up. And mom and dad could say, "Oh, there's only my wife and me," and then six kids go piling out, and we'd all sleep on cushions and pallets on the floor and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you make it. So, Keith, your first drum kit that you get when you were eight, was it a full kit?
Yeah, it was. My dad had a really good friend who had a drum kit, and they used to tinker on cars together and whatnot, mm-hmm. and hang out, and went over to his house one time, and I sat behind his kit. And I can't remember it, but my father always like, "Man, you picked up, you just had a groove to you. You grooved." And the guy who owned the drum set, my dad's buddy, was like, "You got to buy him one. You got to buy him one." He did. And like I said, I think he bought that when I was nine. And he got really good at the drums up until I turned 13. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And then after I turned 13, we moved to a different house that had a shed completely detached from the house, so I could go in there and practice at any time. You know, we soundproofed it soundproofed.
Right.
Quote unquote. And, man, that's where
you minimalize the noise in such a way that the neighbors would only complain once in a while.
Correct. Correct.
Very accurate.
Yeah, we would. And like one of the bands I had, we would practice out of we called it the drum room, because obviously the drums were the biggest thing in there.
Right.
It had a little, crappy futon in there. And there was multiple times where we practiced with the door open and the cops would come to my house, be like, "Can you guys just close the door? Just close the door. You know, we don't want to hear you hollering and, hearing a bunch of China cymbal and a bunch of double bass."
So were you doing, were you doing like heavy metal or hard rock?
Yeah, that was in high school when I started a band that we named after a park I lived right beside called Melissa's Park. We named the band Melissa's. And it was just a bunch of cats that Colton and I grew up with. And we all liked the same kind of heavy music. And we just made it. Made heavy music and
Colton,
played it around
town. Colton, were you in that band?
I was not in that band. I knew all
rude.
Those guys.
How rude. How rude for him to have all his friends and not invite you.
We were in different bands at the time. So I was, I had a Christian version of a metal band that we existed for about 2 months. And we were called Shall Not Perish, because we could come up with names real goodly.
And, Shall Not Perish?
That's right. That's right, dude. Huh. Do you even remember that?
What is it? P-E-R or P-A-R?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, if you're down in Louisiana, then you can be, "Well, I live over with Shall Not Perish,
But we played like one or two shows at the, there was a little, it's not even a venue. It was some dude's big shop.
Yeah. It was how many square foot do you say?
It was big. It was big enough.
It was a massive shop because his dad owned a, was he like a machine? He was a machinist.
Yeah.
And had a bunch of stuff. And we cleared it all out, had a big burnt bonfire out front to get rid of all the old trash. And I bummed a bunch of platforms from our high school theater department as a stage. And we made it work. We had a generator outside.
So cool. Two generators that weren't in phase.
Weren't in phase.
You crossed them, it was a problem. Just ask his old vocalist, one of them.
Yeah, true. Oh, yeah. I had to. Oh, man. one of our old vocalists. He had a mic in one hand and grabbed the neck of a guitar in the other, and he was stuck solid. Just, and he was like about to topple over. And we had to, pull it. And what is it? What's the current? You know,
AC.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
That's funny.
Had to ground him, man. It was wild.
I've got a picture around here somewhere, and my bass player says it's his favorite picture of me because I'm just like, I was the front man, lead singer of a cover band, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just wailing. I got my hands by my side, and I'm just got my head arched up, and I'm just like, really, you can tell from that scene, I'm really getting into the song. I said, John, what you don't realize is my lips had just touched that mic for the first time, and I got zapped. Nothing was grounded.
Yeah,
and so I spend the whole night, instead of like being right up on the mic, I spend the whole night like 6 inches away from him because I didn't want to get electrocuted.
Yeah, no doubt.
Funny.
No doubt.
So when you guys got together, what was that meeting like? Did you just say, "Hey, let's just do this," or did you say,
"Well, here, I know I you want to
no, you
I want to hear both of your stories."
I can hear the, I can see and remember the birth. Okay.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, we were working as like stage hands at the Civic Center, which is this big, what is it? It's just a giant auditorium.
Kind of a municipal auditorium.
Yeah, municipal auditorium.
It's like a Civic Center is what you're saying, right?
It's like a Civic Center, correct.
The Carl Perkins Civic Center.
It's a center. I'm thinking it's a center where all the civics can...
civic activities.
Big Honda.
A bunch of Hondas hang out there.
Bunch of rice burners. And we were both stage handing, and we were wrapping up the event we were working at. And I don't know what happened, but Colton was like, "Hey, man, can you like sing and play drums at the same time?" And I was like, "I could probably try." And we had these like grandiose ideas, like, man, maybe you get a keyboard and like put it kind of above your bass drum to where you could hit some, play some key and also play the drums and also sing. And I don't know why. Like, I guess I just, I felt real big for my britches or something, man. And I was like, I can do that. No doubt. And the keyboard never happened.
We're getting there. We're going to bring the keyboard.
Yeah, we're trying, man. But we decided, because I think it was Colton, you like had just gotten the pedal that made it all possible.
The split stuff. So I have an ABY pedal is what he's talking about.
Yeah. He used car salesman pitched me on like, "Hey man, I can do all that by myself." So it's really cool. And, ever since then we just like, cause when we first started, we were like, "All right, we're only going to do originals and try to get out, not play around Jackson." And then we kind of hit a lull in that, and we were like, "All right, let's do at least like one cover set,
Right.
And sprinkle some originals in there." And that kind of fell by the wayside a little bit. But the reason why we did the covers is because there's just two of us. And places around here, they just want a house band to play a 4-hour set. And we're like, "Hey, man, $500 split between two people instead of four? Yeah, let's do that."
That was the main motivator for the two-piece band.
Money was the main motivator.
It still is for a lot of people.
100%.
So you guys get together, made a decision at the Civic Center, and as the Hondas are driving off into the sunset, you have a handshake, and Kinda Mad is born.
That's the gist of it. I think if we could get you to write that down, we'll put it as a bio on Spotify.
Dude, I don't know what I had for breakfast this morning. Let me remember what I just said 5 seconds ago. Come on.
Well,
Colton Hunt and Keith Yap, our guests here today, the band Kinda Mad, on the Music America podcast. We're going to talk about a couple of their songs here in just a moment because they've written and submitted a couple of songs for us to talk about. It's kind of cool. We'll talk about that in a moment. Something else that's kind of cool, a thing called Flash Jam. You get to discover your celebrity at the newest, hottest, most interesting, and fun live music show that's hit the scene in probably like 50 years. It's called Flash Jam. Whether you perform live music or you enjoy watching live music, Flash Jam has something for everyone. Flash Jam is a dynamic way for musicians to come together, perform, and compete for recognition and prizes. Whether you're new to the stage or an experienced musician, Flash Jam provides an exciting platform to collaborate and showcase your talents. There's a place in St. Louis, for example, called The Quarry. Okay. If the quarry were to hire Flash Jam, Flash Jam comes in and then they reach out to all the musicians that they can and within the network of the people they know in St. Louis area and say, come to Flash Jam. They'll send out a list of songs. And let's say Colton wants to play lead guitar on Bad Moon Rising. And Keith is like, I kind of want to sing that. And I'm saying, I wouldn't mind jamming on the bass on it because I really like that song. I really like Creedence. The three of us sign up for that song, although we don't know each other. And then the day of Flash Jam, we show up and each of us have learned our parts separately, but we haven't played them together. Then we go up on stage and we perform them together. Then the audience judges on us. So we perform hit songs with other random musicians that share a passion for the same song. Existing bands can do the same. They can all get together and say, let's do Bad Moon Rising or whatever. And then they participate. And then the patrons participate by voting. It's really fun. And everybody's involved in some capacity. It's called Flash Jam. Well, it's called Flash Jam, coming to a market near you. Flash Jam, welcome to the show. Kinda Mad is our guest here. Kinda Mad is our guest here on the Music of America Countdown. Yeah,
there you go.
That's awesome. Guys, which of you do you both write, or do you just write Colton, or do you just write Keith, or how does that work?
Most of the time, I have a little tiny notepad. And I'll write little thoughts or tidbits in it, you know, one-liners. I'm not a songwriter. I try, but man, if it's not, you know,
it's difficult.
But I do that. Colton does that, but Colton usually fleshes his out way more. Like, I mean, he can write an entire verse off of one line, where I'm thinking of how to, you know, make that one line be economical.
What rhymes with peanut butter?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, legit. Get caught up in how many syllables are in, you know, one phrase. Like, I wonder if I can double the amount of syllables in the next line. Now, yeah. Colton's the brains behind it. I just kind of throw out ideas every now and then.
We both come together, though, in terms of the writing process. And more specifically, like, at least with the two songs that you have today, we started with music. Mm-hmm. And then we both got together with the music, and then we decided we were going to try to see what lyrics come forth from listening to this, playing this. And like he said, we kind of did some stuff on our own, but in the end, we fleshed it all out together. So it's, yeah. I consider it equal parts, 50-50.
Yeah, all the songs, like the songs we have written, we're literally sitting on my couch in my living room.
No kidding.
He's got his laptop in his lap. I've got mine in mine, and we just... Back and forth.
Mixed media, pad, like laptops, pads.
Yeah, notebooks, everything.
Yeah.
Little index card, whatever we could write stuff down on.
My wife is normally like sitting in between us, and I'm like, hey, is this a stupid line? And she's like, yeah, that is absolute garbage. You know?
Well, I'm just delving into songwriting, and so I'm really intrigued. The show has really opened my eyes up a lot into the different approaches people have to songwriting. And the story I cite all the time, I think, is... Lennon McCartney, they wrote music first until they got to All My Lovin' was the first song that they wrote where they wrote the lyrics first. That's a lot of catalog to put out there before,
yeah,
all,
that's,
you know,
very true.
And it all came from the music. So it could be John, listen to this riff. I put this together on the bass, you know, whatever, you know? And,
yeah, no doubt.
So I've got four acoustic guitars in my living room, and I'll just pick one up randomly. Like, I'm going to go watch a hockey game later, and I'll pick up a guitar and I'll just start playing around with it. And then what I'm starting to do is, and I've learned this from the show, use my recording device on my phone, and I might hear something and I'll record it. It might be just a riff. It might just be a melody. We were down walking around. There's a big river by my house called, get this, guess how creative we are in Cedar Hill, Missouri. There's a big river by us. Guess what the name of the river is?
Big River,
you betcha.
Yeah,
and guess what the song title came to my head?
Rig Biver.
Yes. Ignored the Feist Bosun. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm walking along the shore, and I just get this melody and this phrase, Big River. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I grab my phone immediately. I've never used to do that. Now I'm doing that now. And that's a process. It's one of the dozens of processes I've heard from people.
Dude, to second that, I'm a huge fan of comedy.
Yeah.
And Dave Attell.
What a surprise that is.
Yeah, no doubt. Huh? Dave Attell is like one of my favorite comedians, and I heard him say something on a podcast, and he was like, I just carry a notepad with me all the time, like a notebook, and any idea that I have, it can be two words, but I write it down. And that's what I kind of do. I mean, I have in my book bag right now, I have my notepad full of tidbits, one-liners. I mean, sometimes it's just a word, you know? Yeah. And, you know, tomorrow, I could wake up tomorrow, see that one word in the notebook and be like, oh, wait, I got an idea. And then write, you know, three lines off of one word. So
my best friend keeps wanting me to get into stand-up and do stand-up because I always have him laughing. But I'm not the guy. I'll stand in front of somebody and somebody say, hey, funny man, make me laugh. I will just choke and die, you know?
Yeah.
But the one word thing he wrote down the other day, one word that I said, and he says that one word now, or I'll say that one word and he'll just laugh his butt off. And the word is interesting.
Interesting.
Because of how you say it, you know?
Yeah, of course.
He's going on this long diatribe about something or another. And I'm just listening to him rag on and on. And he's done. He goes, what do you think? And I just went, interesting. It's like I go through all of that and that's all you got to say.
Yeah. You don't know, he doesn't know if you were listening or just trying to placate him a little bit, but like
trying to keep him happy.
That's awesome.
It's trying to keep the people happy. Yeah. Well, the first song of yours we're going to hear is a song called Headset, and it's kind of funny because I'm retired, so I don't really work for a living. I just do this, but this is such an important part of doing this. So is Headset anything about my headsets?
So we wrote Headset about virtual reality headsets. So specifically not about the virtual reality headsets themselves, but about this new Web3 kind of movement that's going on right now, where it seems like people want to own effectively real estate on the internet and stuff. There's all this stuff going on, and it's just us kind of attacking the idea of how that seems stupid to us.
Yeah, just trying to make fun of it. What hold on. Yeah, Web3, the third internet movement or whatever they call it now. It's just, I don't know. Everybody's trying to increase their internet Wi-Fi footprint, I guess.
Right.
Their webosphere footprint, and we're not into that.
Well, I've got one more thing. I have a neighbor of mine. They built this like enclosed garage curtain thing for their kid to play outside with his VR on all the time.
What neighbor?
Well, right. Anyway. I'll show you right down the street.
Oh,
but
man.
Are you talking about those VR things where you like,
yes,
you
sir.
Put them on, you put in a program and you go to France you insert yourself in a Halo game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a world I have not. The closest I ever came was my Xbox 360. You know?
I think those are cool. That's fine.
Yeah. Classic game systems. It's retro. That's coming back, man. Yeah. Like, there's tons of people I know that have like Nintendo 64s that, I mean, that is their almost prized possession, you know?
That's funny. That's so funny.
Yeah. But the VR stuff is just, it's going too far.
Especially when
the headset's more about that realm of reality.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You were saying something else, Colton.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, you've seen the Apple Vision Pro that got announced. It's got the see-through
glass. Yeah, it just came out like this year, right?
There's been some candid videos of people in New York City just on the subway wearing it, doing their work, like moving around. And it triggers this like vile response inside of me where I'm like, how can you do that? Like, how can you just walk around trying to be in two places at once? You can't live in reality and also on the internet at the same time. People are bad enough on their phones, you know? So
exactly.
We had my brother's 60th birthday party last week, and he nudges me like this. He goes, look, I said, what? And there were 12 of us there and 9 of them were on their phones.
Oh yeah.
And that's
the way now.
We are chemically addicted to them, man.
Yeah. Something. Wait, my phone's ringing. I'll be right back.
That's like the logic of the guy who has the, you know, the cases that flip over and it's got your cards and stuff on.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, yeah, well, I'm not chemically addicted to my wallet. I'm chemically addicted to my phone, so I'm way more prone to lose my wallet.
There you go.
That's right.
That's funny. Well, the band Kinda Mad, Colton Hunt and Keith Yap, our guests today from Jackson, Tennessee, here on the Music of America podcast. And their first song we're going to hear is about that. It's about a headset or headsets, which is called Headset, right here. Music of America podcast continues with Kinda Mad from Jackson here. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. We'll talk with the boys, the twins, the two guys, the duo called Kinda Mad, Colton and Keith, after we talk a little bit about this. I'm sure they've done it. I've done it. We've all done it. You find that perfect tone you're searching for all night, and then the club owner comes up and says, you know what? You're a little too loud. You're going to have to turn that down a little bit, something to that effect, you know? So that which you have spent all evening to achieve, that perfect tone, you're in the sweet spot all the time, and that you have to turn it down. Well, introducing the Lexi from Landry Amps. The Lexi is a 100-watt amp that has at its core a vintage plexi circuit. The Lexi has a rhythm crunch channel, a boosted lead channel, it has digital reverb, two buffered effects loop, depth control, an awesome voice switch, has considerably more gain than a plexi does, but at volumes that range from a whisper all the way to concert volumes, but it's designed to be played at those lower volumes. The two channels each have their own gain and master volume control, but they share the EQ. Check them out. Landry Amps. Now, Bill Landry from Landry Amps has a YouTube channel, so you go to Landry Amps on YouTube, and you'll see every amp that he has to offer. He breaks them down, explains to you what this one does, this is this, this does this, and then you get to hear them as well. Or go to his website, www.landryamps.com. You'll get the same experience because landryamps.com will link you to his YouTube page. Cool stuff. Landry Amps, www.landryamps.com. Kinda Mad, our guest, Colton, what amp do you play through?
Well, that's a trick question for me because we actually just kind of switched through to an all-digital rig. Blasphemous. Well, I'm a tube guy. You can't see, but there's like five tube amps over here to my left. But where we live, the amount of money you could make going out on tour, going out to play shows, it doesn't really justify bringing $15,000 worth of equipment out with you. So
right.
I'm a big fan of Neural DSP. This is not an ad for them, but I have a quad cortex, which is a unit kind of like, are you familiar with Axe FX?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the old Line 6 pods.
Line 6, right.
This is a more modern version of it, and it's got all kinds of crazy routing that lets me do the bass and guitar thing that I want to do, and it's $1,800.
Wow.
Just slap it on a pedal board, and it just everything lives on a pedal board for my live stuff. But yes, tube amp wise, I got a Mesa Rectoverb 25 that I like to record with, and a Vox AC 15.
So you record differently than what you perform with.
Yes.
Use different gear. Yeah. Well, that
we
makes sense.
We try to be a little boutique on the recording side. We actually record real drums also. We don't do what modern people do. We try not to.
Real drums, and I suffer through a click track. And we spend about 2 hours setting up like 17 microphones.
Oh, he loves it.
In my tiny little house.
Don't let him make you think he doesn't love it.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Do you guys self-produce?
Technically. We do have a friend of ours, David Key. He mixed these two songs that you have. And he did come in and help us set up drums. He's troubleshot some tones with me on guitars and bass and vocals and that sort of thing. So, but mostly self-produced, yes.
Because what I've been hearing a lot of people do, because there's so much good technology out there, that you can self-produce everything and then ship it off to a production company. And then they can add the bells and whistles or whatever they do. And I'm going somewhere with this and make a song like Melange or a song like Headset, make it even fuller, even more complete. And now where I'm going with this is a Band on the Run, big album for Paul McCartney 30, 40 years ago. Okay. Was just recently re-released. Band on the Run underdubbed.
Underdubbed.
So without the production qualities that were added after they went in, they did the studio live stuff and they did their different parts. So you'll get the gist of Jet, you know, and then the songs that are on Band on the Run and all the songs that were famous from that album, but they don't have the bells and whistles. And a standalone album, if that was released just like that, would have sold millions of copies anyway. But they produced it so that prompted my brother to ask this question. I love asking musicians this, especially groups of two or less, because you get arguments. But when, and I'll start with you, Keith, when is the song done?
Oh, man.
Now, see, you're the comic, so I thought you would have like a real quick answer.
Yeah, I thought I would too, but that's a deep philosophical question
hit
for me, man.
Gut.
Yeah. The song is done. Oh man. So obviously we're making the songs, we're making the music.
Yeah.
We hear the, finished product, and before, pre-release, we've heard both of these songs, Headset and Melange, what, thousands of times,
probably close to 1,000 at least.
So after a while you get jaded around it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I think the song is done once I don't feel that, that cringiness when I hear it. I hear something fresh in it.
Okay.
After taking like, it could be a 2-day or a 2-week break from listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear it, and I'm like, oh man, yeah, there's nothing else we could have added. It's solid right there.
I'm with you on the cringy thing, because you can sit there and listen and say, guys, let's do it again. I didn't like the way the D sounded there,
Yeah, exactly.
Or I didn't like the way that you syncopated that one part in the song where it went do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I think maybe you did it too much. I speak musician, yes.
That's right.
Now you sound like me trying to tell him what I want him to do.
Yeah,
that's the other thing. When the other time to me, I think it's finished, is when you don't have to tell each other. You just know.
Oh, yeah. That's well said, man. Very well said.
How about you, Colton?
Well, for production, because I think in terms of writing, it's a slippery slope, As an artist, I feel like I can revise and revise and revise writing to death, and I'm never going to be 100% happy with it. And I'm trying to already get in that mental space, is like vicariously learn from other people that have written things. Like, you're never going to think it's going to be a five-star piece, probably. But, like, as soon as you feel in your heart, like, you can't add anything else to it, kind of like he said, you're done. But when it comes to production, I work opposite of that. And I basically, when I add something to it and it no longer feels like it's adding, it feels like it's maybe cluttering it up, you know, then it's done. Then I've done too much. Let's take that part out. We're done. I may try to add something else. I may give it the three strikes, you're out method. But if I add something and I think it's now cluttered up, then it's done. We're finished with what we can do.
I had these cats on from Oklahoma, and they use this phrase that I think just says it so well. And they say they call it chasing the bear. You know, that you can do it over and over and over again. Next thing you know, you're chasing the bear. You know, and I'd like, you don't want to be doing that, because that bear's going to turn on you, and then you're going to pay for it. So you got to just say that bear is pretty cool being there, and let's let it go, and we're good. You start chasing the bear, then that's when things can go wrong.
It could turn around and kill you.
To like add to the when knowing when a song is done, the song headset. Well, when we were like, this was deep into the production aspect of it. Colton had just got done recording all the strings, guitar, bass, got the vocals already. And we were like, we thought that the intro to the song felt empty, you know? And so we added a guitar lead to it. Just a quick little solo. And it's really just the lead is just mimicking the vocal melody. And we spent probably 2 weeks with it in there. And then we came in here one day, and I guess we just listened to it on Colton's speakers right here in front of us. And we both kind of just looked at each other and was like, man, this sounds super cheesy. it's all cornball. We were like, yeah, just take it out and let it, you know, let that be just a driving foot, man. Yeah. It had a, I don't want to say cringy quality to it, but I don't know.
It felt almost like a try hard pop maneuver.
There it is, right there.
Like, yeah, I got that.
A pop song would take a hook from a melody and repeat it on another instrument in a different section of the song. And that's why I wanted to do that. But then we heard it and it was like, it just doesn't fit the vibe of the song.
Then it sounds like this is where it's like putting together a puzzle. And the instruction says, now you take this part and put it over here, and it loses that feel. It loses that naturality, that authenticity.
Absolutely.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Well, we're going to hear your next song. You want to tell me about Melange? What and where and who is Melange?
I'm going to let Keith take
you
this
don't
away.
You don't know what Melange is, man?
Is that a French ice cream?
No. Well, the definition for it is a mixture of things?
Mixture, yeah.
It's just a conglomerate, a mixture of things, anything. It is a melange of, you know, fabric or spice or whatever, seasoning, excuse me. But I don't know if you're familiar with Dune, the movie or the books.
Yes, yes. In fact, I'm being beckoned to watch Dune 2 because it's supposed to be as good as the remake of Dune 1.
It is.
You should watch it.
It's very great. I've seen it 3 times. I'm a huge Dune. I'm a huge Dune nerd. So is Colton.
He got me into it.
And that song Melange, that's what they call the spice.
Oh, okay.
In Dune. Okay. And that's pretty much what it's about. It's about the pros and cons of the spice.
Awesome.
That's what the song is about. And
I'm going to go put my Dune cap on. Yeah. And we're going to listen to the other song we're going to hear today from Kinda Mad. The song is called Melange from Jackson, Tennessee, right here on the Music of America podcast.
times in this night. The new reality, trapped in a cell lined with epiphany, the greatest of power comes at the greatest of cost, the brink of insanity up to a toss.
Song called Melange. Now I've got to go watch the movie Dune again. Thank you very much, Keith. Keith Yap and Colton Hunt, who make up the band Kinda Mad. This is the segment of the show where I don't have to say anything else. I just sit back and you guys shamelessly self-promote the segment we call Shameless Self-Promotion.
Sweet. Shameless Self-Promote. You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
I'll take the reins on Shameless Self-Promotion. These two songs that you've heard today are out on all streaming services possible. Our distributor pretty much has them everywhere. I think you could even stream them in India on very specific Indian only streaming services. So that being said, please go stream them, even if it's on YouTube, even if it's on Spotify. Just please give them a listen. If you don't like it, please let us know. If you do like it, please let us know. Keith, do you want to tell them how they can reach us to let us know?
All right, so we have a link. Obviously, you can follow us on Instagram or Facebook at Kinda Mad Band. And our link is kindamad.io.comey.
Almost.
Oh,
he got it all right, the way backwards.
Hold on. So it's Kinda Mad Band, dude.
.comey.
Damn it.
All right, we'll get it.
So,
wait. No. Is it mad kind of io dot?
Yeah, it's not that easy.
Colton.kip.
Colton.kip. Yep.
It is kindamadband.comey.io /.
That'll take you there.
That's it.
You do not have to do the /.
Yeah, of
on
course
your
not.
End,
of course
now, that is. Now, another shortcut is to go to your website, right?
Of course. Yeah. The website is kindamadband.com. There you go. It's right there. But obviously, that the kind of mad.comey, all that, that's in every one of our social media. Like, it's in the link in our bios.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it gets you streaming everywhere. Our website, our merch, our weekly newsletter. What else?
Every social's linked from there also.
Yeah, so every social and
that's
live
our
dates.
Our super link is the Comey link. But yes, you can backtrack through any of those by landing on our website, which is kindamadband.com. by landing on our Facebook, which is Kind of Mad Band, by landing on our Instagram, which is Kind of Mad Band. Mm-hmm. And we also have a Twitter, but I don't, you know, it's not much reach on Twitter, but that's Kind of Mad Band as well. Our TikTok is also Kind of Mad Band.
I'm starting to get a theme here.
Yep. That was our goal. We were hoping there would be a theme and it would be easy to remember.
Yeah.
And I'm not even kind of mad about it.
Oh, there it is.
There it is. He's just a little pissed. Yeah. A little
no, that's my band next week we'll be interviewing.
A little pissed. Hey, there was a band here in town. Good band. They were strictly a cover band, I think, right?
At the time, yes.
Yeah, and their name was A Little Hostile.
Oh.
So it was Kind of Mad and A Little Hostile. We never played together. Nope. Did not like, we didn't work that out either. That
get together and call it the Mad as Hell Tour.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Is there anything else for us to promote?
You know what? I didn't ask through this whole thing. We heard two songs. Is that it? Do you have other songs? The other albums? Are they available on the website?
We do actually, but not available yet. Keith, would you like to?
So we have three other songs that are, I mean, they're in production right now. One of them's finished. We're planning on releasing them in what? What'd you say?
We were originally shooting for May. I think that might be a little too soon.
Right.
But probably right there around October would be a good time.
Yeah.
We'll see them in 24. And again, by following you and your website and all your social media, that's how we'll be able to find out when this gets cut and this gets released and this gets released.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got a bunch of other stuff. We have some live footage of us recording two songs in a studio in Nashville that we're going to release before then. You know, just some video of us, I mean, doing live takes in the studio.
To get to it all, the best way to get to it all is www.kindamadband.com.
Correct. Yes, sir. Nailed it. That's it.
As all the metalheads are saying these days, groovy.
Groovy.
Groovy. Groovy. Yeah, that'll get you anywhere you need to be.
Colton and Keith, thank you so much for being on the show. Good luck, good fortune, and stay in touch so we can keep plugging away.
Absolutely. Thank you very much,
thank
Tom.
You, dude.
Thank you. Kind of Mad, our guest here today, wrapping up the state of Tennessee here on the Music of America podcast. Join us next week. We're headed to the Lone Star State, Texas, right here on the Music of America podcast. You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. If you like today's show, please go to the website at www.musicofamericapod.com or our Music of America podcast Facebook page. Like us and follow the show and episodes. We tally the votes of all our shows, and the most listened to shows will be rebroadcast on our best of shows at the end of the season. I look forward to having you with us again and listening to the Music of America.